Well, as you can tell, our first step in a new pastorate is to pray. And I hope that when we had those prayers this morning, that you took that seriously. Because we have the eyes of an almighty God looking upon us when we pray. And if there's anything that we do this morning, anything that I teach, the most important thing is that we actually did it and that we prayed. Because God hears the prayers of his children. Me standing here today is an answer to prayer. And I fully realize that in my own life. My parents have been praying with me for ever since high school about a stirring in my heart to be a pastor. And as I stand up here, that prayer's been answered. And I know that's why they wanted to come down so badly, because it represents an answer of prayer for many, many years. There was a moment in that journey that we weren't quite sure it was actually going to happen. It was when I was in college. My parents, they know where I'm going with this. I had a brain injury playing basketball, and I had to drop out of college. And I moved to my parents' basement, and I had limited abilities at that time. And I wrestled with that. I still had the desire to serve God as a pastor someday, and yet I knew that if he limited my abilities, he'd still ask me to be faithful with what he'd given me. And yet we continue to pray, and not just my parents. As you know how a church family feels one another's burdens, my church family felt that, and they were praying for me. At the time, my dad had a missional reach, and so people around the world were praying for me. And after 2 years, God gave me a full bill of health again. And as any path goes, there's been all sorts of turns along the way where God was shaping me and shaping my heart. And now I'm standing here and I get to preach a sermon to you about prayer. And I know in my personal life that it works. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here. The Bible has a lot to say about prayer. And as we begin to read this, I want to remind you that unless we pray, nothing is going to happen. The times in our lives when nothing happens, it's because we didn't pray. And so, our scripture today out of James says this. It says that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. So I'd like to walk through this verse by verse for this morning. The first thing I want to point out is that an earnest prayer, it only has power because of who it's prayed to. I think about my little girl over here. You can see her right now, even. And when she cries out to her father, there's power in a crying baby. Because dad gets up out of bed and he goes and gets her a bottle, just like mom has done right now. But the power in a prayer is not in the power of the baby, right? Hosanna is not gloating right now in her ability to be self-sufficient. She's gloating in the fact that she has a parent with the power to provide what she needs. And that is where the power comes from in an earnest prayer. Another component of a powerful prayer is that it says the earnest prayer of a righteous person. Now, what are we to do with that? For we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, haven't we? So what is the earnest prayer of a righteous person? And I believe that that is someone who has confessed their sin. We started in the second half of verse 16, but the first half I'll read to you now. I saved it for this moment. It says this, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's such a thing as hindered prayers. 1 Peter 3:7 mentions husbands that are not loving their wives in an understanding and respectful way. It says that your prayers will be hindered. And so a step here that we must all take as we begin this thing is to look at our hearts and confess what's there that might be hard soil. Confess what might be getting in the way. As we look later in the story of Elijah and his relationship with a man named Ahab, Ahab was a hard-hearted king. Ahab did not confess his sin. And as a result, there was no rain on the land for 3.5 years. The hardness of his heart produced a hardness of the ground, and there was no results. So the earnest prayer of a righteous person. As Pastor Dave prayed today, he prayed that we might be blameless, that we might be living out righteous lives, so that God would hear our prayer. As we begin this new season at the church, I've been doing this myself this last week. I've been saying, God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and see if there's anything in me, Lord, that is unpleasing in your sight, and lead me in your ways. If we do that as a church, if we confess our sin, we have an earnest prayer, then exciting things are going to happen. The floodgates of heaven are going to open, and there's going to be rain, and things are going to grow. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to him, to Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And this is what I need in my life. I need great power, and I need wonderful results. And I know it's not coming from me, folks. I know it's coming from prayer. The Greek term here for produces wonderful results is a word called energeo in the Greek, which is where we get the word energy, where we get the word work. This literally means that much work will be accomplished when we pray. Martin Luther's quoted as saying, I'm so busy now that if I do not spend 3 hours each day in prayer, I could not get through the day. And Bill Hybels is a book that's been out for over 30 years with over 1 million copies called Too Busy Not to Pray. The point that they're all getting at here is that the real work is prayer. I was blessed on my first day in the office this week on Tuesday, as women came in for prayer. And as I was making my to-do list, first day on the job, first hour on the job, typing out my tasks, starting to get sick, I was reflecting on the fact that in a room over yonder, that the real work is happening. That people are praying. And I did a heart check. I said, God, that's where my heart's got to be too. That's where I've got to be too. Because if we don't do that, we're just spinning our wheels. Have you ever put in an immense amount of energy towards something and it just seems like it's going nowhere? Maybe even backwards? Have you ever lost your keys and you just keep looking and looking and looking? And then finally you just stop and say, Lord, help me to find my keys. And then you hear them jingle in your coat pocket. And okay, thank you, Lord. You've made your point, right? The story we'll look at in a little bit here, between Elijah and Ahab. We'll look at it now. Elijah met with 450 of Ahab's prophets of Baal up on a mountain. And talking about spinning your wheels and getting nowhere, these 450 prophets were shouting as loud as they could at the top of their lungs, praying to a God that is no God, doing all sorts of rituals, and in great humor, Elijah says, your God's not at work, is he? He's not sitting at his desk or in the field working, is he? And in great humor, he says, maybe he's in the restroom, or maybe he's on vacation, and maybe that's why nothing's getting done. Or maybe he fell asleep at his desk or out in the field, and that's why nothing's getting done. That's called spinning your wheels and getting nowhere. And these 450 prophets were just wearing themselves out silly. And we've all been there. We've all been there. They get to the point where they're shedding blood, sweat, and tears on the ground and getting nothing in return. Because they are not praying to an almighty, all-powerful God. They're doing things that don't need to be done in the first place. And the things that do need to get done, they're exerting great energy and not getting anywhere. So this first sermon, as a pastor here at Faith Baptist, we're going to do what they didn't do. We're going to do what Elijah did. And we're going to pray to an almighty God. And we're going to look to the heavens and see what happens. And Elijah was as human as we are. It's easy to think that Elijah was some sort of superhero. I think it's great that James noted this specifically for his audience. To say, you know what, Elijah was just like you and me. And it's really easy to think that the characters in the Bible have certain superpowers in order to part Red Seas and to walk on water. They're as human as we are. They prayed to the same God we prayed to this morning. And that is where the power comes from. I think out of this whole text, this piece spoke to me most this week. As I moved my family from another state, as we packed our home into little boxes and sent them out on a truck, trusting that we'd have a home on the other side, which closed a week late. So I was getting sick. As there was much to be done, I found myself praying. And in that prayer, I was saying, God, I feel very human right now. I feel very human. And you know, the enemy wants to take that and twist truth. He wants to make distortions. And so, one distortion he'll make is he'll say, you know what? You are very human. And that's true. But the distortion he makes is he says, so what can you really do? And that's where the lie comes in. Because we can pray. And so when that lie comes in to your heart or your mind in those moments, a great response is to say to that lie, I'd like you to meet my Father. And when you bring that lie into the eyes of an almighty God, that lie just dissipates into the nothingness that it really is. Because in the eyes of an almighty Father, you can. You can do what Elijah did. You can pray, and things are going to happen. Amen?
Yes.
Thank you. Elijah had a moment like this. Immediately after his mountaintop experience from 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings 19, Elijah literally hides and wants to die and walks some serious depression. That lie was getting to him. What can you really do, Elijah? Jezebel's out to kill you. What can you really do? And so he's on a mountaintop in this moment, and he keeps talking to God. And if finally God shows up in a gentle whisper, he says, Elijah, where are you? Where are you? You crawled up in a hole and you're hiding. Where are you? Where is your confidence? Surely you're simply a human. But you can pray. You just did and you saw things fall from heaven. And you can do it again. And he does. He prays and the drought ends and a terrific rainstorm comes up from the sea. And it ends the drought. And at the end of that chapter, God sends Elijah a friend. He sends him Elisha at the end of that chapter. What great timing to walk with him with where he was at. Another person that was as human as we are that can help give us confidence is Jesus Christ. He was fully God, but he was fully man. And Hebrews 4:15 through 16 says that this high priest of ours, which is Jesus, understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings we did, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. And Romans 8:34 says, who then will condemn us? When we feel like we're only human, who is there to condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us, interceding for us on our behalf. That is why we can pray, because Jesus has bridged the way. If we have confessed our sin, we prayed God's will just like we did today, when he prayed again, the sky sent down the rain and things began to grow. And so in the growing season that we're in here at Faith Baptist, that is the game plan. We're going to pray and God is going to send the rain. And it's going to be so exciting with you all to look at the horizon, to look at the skies, and wonder when, wonder how much he's going to send to us. And we're going to experience that growth in our lives, and we're going to see that growth around us if we do this, if we pray with open hearts. Something that I find fascinating in the scripture text in closing. In chapter 18, verse 1, God tells Elijah to go tell Ahab that it's going to rain. Yet in James 5:18, it says that Elijah prayed for it to rain. So which is it? First, we see God decreeing that it's going to rain. And second, we see God answering a prayer. Now I would like to propose to you that God stirs in our hearts to pray. Have you ever been woken up at 2 in the morning and say, you know what, I really need to pray for that family? God is announcing in that he wants to do something. And as God has been stirring in our hearts these many prayers from many people, I believe that God is announcing that he wants to do something. And he's not going to leave us hanging when we pray, because our prayers then stir his heart to respond. I think about little Hosanna when she cries to me, when she tries to talk to me. She knows no words, but just her blah, blah, blah in my direction, trying to get Dad's attention, it melts my heart. It stirs my heart like I've never felt before. And I want to be there for her. I want to provide for her. I want to show up for her. And when I come over to her and she puts her hands up, how do you not resist picking up a little girl? Even if she's holding on to something, like her baby gate or something, and I come over, she puts those hands up, and she's got 2 seconds before she's going to tip. But she has never tipped over from that. Because when she's in the presence of her father, and she puts her hands up, she has been caught every time. Yet I'm as human as Elijah is. Think about a perfect father whose child raises their hands up to him. In the times in your life that don't make sense, please, please, remember the heart of God. That he's a better father. He's a perfect father. Remember that he's going to feel what you feel more than you do. That he wants to catch you, that he is catching you. Maybe not in the ways that you expect, maybe not in your timing, but praise God, a God who knows the future, that it's in his timing as he's putting everything together. And next step, we get to experience a baptism. Of a daughter of God who put her hands up and said, God, catch me. Who raised her voice to her father. And I know from Scripture that God has answered her prayer, that the heart of God has been stirred and has saved Angela Nolte. So, worship team, will you come up and lead us and the last song of prayerful worship? And Angela and Dustin, you guys are invited to prepare for a baptism. Let us pray, knowing that the eyes of an almighty God, of a loving Father, are on us. And so lift your hands to heaven and say, God, I'm here for you to catch me. And I'm here for you to send, I'm asking you, God, just as Elijah, Lord, send the rain. Because without it, nothing's going to grow. It has to come from you and you alone. We place our full confidence in you, Father. And we are thankful because we are not in a drought right now. Because we have been praying. The water has been coming down. Things have been growing. And we humbly pray, Almighty God, for that to continue. In Jesus' name, amen.